Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Then the preacher said, people take a moment or two. There's something we need to do. Pray for the fish. They won't know.
You will not believe what is in the fish. We talked about this yesterday and we thought, okay, we need to dig a little deeper and find out exactly what is going on. Fish in Florida showing up with pharmaceuticals in their tissue. Dr. Jennifer Hage is with us and a PhD student, Nick Castillo. And I know both of you are the people to turn to. Dr. Jennifer Rehage is associate professor, Earth of Environment at the Institute of Environment. And Nicholas Castillo is a PhD candidate at the Coastal Fisheries Lab. So let's talk about the fish you tested off the coast of Florida. Things like prostate medicine, antidepressants, pain relievers showed up within the tissue of bonefish.
Hi, Lisa. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
So we found a total of 58 different pharmaceuticals in blood samples from these fish.
58 different pharmaceuticals. So this is from sewage that is being released into the ocean, and there's no way to break down those pharmaceuticals? Is that, you know, in layman's term, a pretty easy way to put it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The kind of conventional wastewater treatment that we have in the U.S., all of our households, and we have in most of the world does not remove this new chemistry, such as pharmaceuticals. So we need additional steps in wastewater treatment to specifically remove them.
And Nicholas, tell us about what you did to work on your PhD and to do research to figure out why this is staying in the tissue of fish and why 58 different. It's just stunning to us. We think about the ocean and we think, well, there's no way that that could be in the tissue of fish. But tell us your experience and what you have found out.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. So you said it pretty well yourself there. This is quite stunning, and that would definitely be my impression as well when we first were getting back all of our results. You know, going into this, we did expect to find pharmaceuticals in, let's say, our bonefish, which is the fish we were testing, in areas like Biscayne Bay, which are really close to urban centers. So we tested fish from Biscayne Bay all the way through the Dry Tortugas. And the Dry Tortugas, that area is about like 70 miles from Key West. So when we got our results back, we're really surprised to find that these pharmaceuticals were found in high numbers and concentrations everywhere, including the Dry Tortugas, which is actually the highest, and that's the furthest from urban centers. So it's very surprising that we found those sort of trends that were really contradictory to what we expected.
And were you able to take that research and match it with the type of drugs that people in that area are taking and determine what drugs are more likely to show up in the tissue of fish, or does every drug show up?
Yeah, so the drugs that we sampled for, we looked for 104 different types, and as Jen mentioned, we found 58. And so we selected those based on prescription rates and also based on drugs, whether or not they stay in the environment, you know, likelihood of actually being able to detect it. And we were finding very similar types of drugs and the drug identity throughout all of the regions. So some of our most commonly detected were blood pressure medications, antidepressant medications, and actually prostate medications as well. But it was a pretty uniform distribution of the types of drugs that we were finding. So it's kind of showing the source. It's just the drugs that we're taking. So what we're taking the most and the ones that are most persistent is what we're finding.
So based on the drug intake of whatever area you might be researching, you're going to see that show up in the fish. So there's no reason not to think that fish in the Great Lakes are affected in a similar fashion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
right. Our research being in a marine environment is a little bit new, but there's a lot of research in the freshwater, lake, and riverine environments, and they're finding it everywhere globally in areas that are very far from people, let's say in alpine rivers, very underdeveloped areas. So it is a very safe assumption to say that you'd be finding similar types and possibly amounts of drugs in those locations.
And Jen, if we're consuming, if you were in an area where you were consuming a lot of fish, would that then be something that we see high levels of in a human being, even though if they didn't take that drug?
Yeah, so the levels in the muscle for, let's say, a fish fillet are quite low. So you are not going to get a ton of exposure that way, and exposure levels are quite low. You're also going to get exposure through the water and through your vegetables that they're using biosolids, right? So you're getting exposure multiple ways because these pharmaceuticals are in lots of places. But the levels are really, really low. So unlikely you're going to get super exposed, but you are getting exposed for sure. And we don't really know what it means. So there's no immediate danger, but then you might have exposure of your entire lifetime. And we don't know what that means, you know, the long-term multiple source of exposure over your entire lifetime.
Right, because people who live on the water eat what comes out of the water. They're in the water on a consistent basis. So I would think that would be a bigger problem for them. What do we do now? Now that you've got the research and you find out that 58 pharmaceuticals show up in the tissue of fish, and you say it all has to do with how we discharge our sewage, not only here but around the world, is there any hope that that will change?
Yes. This is a very fixable issue. It's a very fixable we have the technology. We can add these additional steps in the wastewater treatment process to remove these pharmaceuticals that not only remove the pharmaceuticals, but you also get removal of other things, such as PFAS, that we know are a concern. We've been hearing a lot about that. So you can add additional steps in sort of the wastewater treatment, and it will certainly 100% remove these pharmaceuticals. And it's just an alarm call, right, that we need to clean up our wastewater and do a better job. There's a few places in the world, in Switzerland and Sweden, where they're doing this, and they're retrofitting their wastewater plants to add these steps in wastewater treatment and make that water safe, and we need to do the same.
That's going to take a lot of money. Do you think that's going to get something? Do you think that's going to be something that will actually get pushed through and happen in our lifetime?
It will. Yeah, it's a good question. It will take a lot of money, but it's certainly worth it, and it's certainly the right thing to do. And places in Sweden, for instance, it's not that expensive. You know, it's a couple beers per person per year to add these additional steps to your water bill. I think in Switzerland, they're paying about maybe €10 per person. And it's not a lot of money for a lot of safety.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and explaining it. When we saw that all these drugs are showing up in the tissue of fish, we certainly had some questions and wanted to understand it. And I hope that something does change, because it's not anything I want to consume or swim in, and that's not something I've given thought to in the past. So thank you for joining us on Chicago's Afternoon News.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Lauren has the news, your 4 o'clock news, coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
WGN.